Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter 8, look in verse 15. The Bible said this, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Bible said in verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That we are the children of God. It's Friends and Family Day today. And I want to look into verse number 15 and pull one word out of it and talk about it for a little while. And that's the word adoption today. Father, I love you today, and I thank you, Lord, for our church. God, thank you, Lord, for every person that makes it up and all the hard work that's went into today. God, as I sat and watched that video, Lord, I was just so thankful, God, for the people that you've put in Amazing Grace and all the work that's gone into it. And God, I may stand here as the pastor and I may be, quote unquote, the face of the church today, but God, the reason everything that's happened today has happened is, number one, because of you, but number two, because of all the hard workers here at Amazing Grace. And I say thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd help us over the next few minutes, God. I pray, Lord, that you would get glory and honor. I pray that if there's anybody here lost today, that today would be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Romans chapter number 8, whenever we come to it, matter of fact, some writers and some commentators say that it is one of the pinnacle chapters of the New Testament, if not the entire Bible. Whenever we read Romans chapter number 8 in its entirety, and I'll not take time to do that, but it shows us how we can go from living a life of bondage to living a life of freedom. A lot of people today have Christianity and have being saved by the grace of God mixed up. They think that once they get saved, once they surrender their life to Christ, that it is a life of rules and regulation and a life of bondage. But it's quite different than that. Once we give our life to Christ, it is actually a life of freedom today. We are no longer living in the spirit of bondage today, but if we're saved by the grace of God, we have liberty and we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was reading through Romans chapter number 8 again, preparing for today, this word adoption just continued to ring out to me. So I began studying the process of adoption. Now, understand that our Bible was written in a different day. There's different manners. There's different customs. There's different laws. Whenever you go back and begin studying Rome, when this was written and where it was written at and to whom it was written to. So let me just mention a couple of things about adoption in Rome, because it was a very serious and a very complicated process in the day and age in which our Bible was written. Whenever you study it out, you'll find that the Father had complete power and was considered absolute power over His children for their entire life during that time. So for them to be able to be adopted by someone else, then that Father had to relinquish His rights to that child. There was two steps that was involved in this process. The first one was carried out by a symbolic scale. And what they would do, they would take copper and scales and they would weigh it out. And at the third time, the first two times, the Father would buy it back. But at the third time, the Father would not buy it back. And in doing that, He was relinquishing His rights to His child. The second step is known as vindication. Whenever you study it out, it was a ceremony that followed the scale of the Son. The Father, who was was adopting the son, went to one of the Roman magistrates and presented a legal case to adopt the son and to have him placed under his power and under his control. Can I just say to you today, before salvation, we are living under the power and the authority of Satan. But after salvation, thank God, we are adopted into the family of God. This process of adoption, as I continued studying, here's what I found out. There was three key consequences of adoption. Number one, the person that was adopted lost all the rights that he had to his old family. They also gained all the rights and everything legally to become a legitimate son to the new family. They was losing something, but they was gaining something. Number two, the adopted son also had a new inheritance. Now that he was the legal son of the adopted father, whatever the father had, his new father had, he had rights to it. His old father was no longer his father. His old inheritance was no longer his inheritance, but he had a new father. He had a new family. He had a new inheritance whenever he was adopted. Number three, watch this. In Roman law, the previous life of the adopted son was completely erased. The previous life of the adopted son was erased. That meant that all of his debts were canceled and erased as if they had never existed. He was considered a new person with a new life in a new bloodline. Can I say to you today, once we're saved by the grace of God, we are a new person. We have a new life. We have a new bloodline. Our past is erased and we become part of a new family in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Can I give you three practical things about adoption this morning and we'll go eat together? Number one, I want you to see the life in the relationship. The life in the relationship. Note again what your Bible said. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Before salvation, we lived under the bondage of sin, the fear of judgment, the fear of death, the fear of eternity. The lost person may smile on the outside, but deep down inside, there is often uncertainty about the things ahead. They wonder, am I good enough? Have I done enough? What will happen if I die? But salvation changes all of that for us because we are no longer living a life of bondage. There is a new life in this relationship. Matter of fact, the Bible would say it this way, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespassings of sin. In other words, now that we're saved, we are made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is life in this. Matter of fact, the songwriter said it this way, I've just started living. You may think you understand what life is and what pleasure is and what joy is. Oh, but after salvation, after adoption, after we become the sons of God, he gives us a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. There is a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this. Salvation brings a new life. The Christian life is not fear. The Christian life is not dread. The Christian life is not uncertainty. Oh, I may not know what tomorrow holds, but because I'm saved, I know who holds tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow may be a bad day, but because of my new life, I have someone living inside of me that helps me to face the fears when they do come. Oh, yes, the Christian life is not fear, it's not dread, it's not uncertainty. The Christian life is peace, assurance, it's joy. 2 Timothy said this, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John said this in chapter number 10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know what he's saying? He's saying there's a new life. There's a new life after adoption. I thought about this. When a child, to give you a practical application, when a child enters a loving adoptive home, they may initially wonder, will they keep me? Will they send me away? Am I really part of this family? Over time, they learn this. This is my home. The same things happen spiritually. Well, you may be sitting here today thinking, man, if I really give my life to Christ, will he keep me? Will he send me away? Will I really become part of the family? Can I just say to you today, this new life means that the old life is passed away. Hey, the Bible said it this way, that when we become saved, that there is a new beginning in our life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he'll keep you. Yes, he'll change you. Yes, he'll give you peace. That's the new life he offers. There's the life in the relationship. But now watch this, number two. There's the legality of the relationship. Not only the life in the relationship, but the legality of the relationship. What did the Bible say? He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm just going to move on, but I just got to run this one right. You need to understand that life outside of Christ is a life of bondage. There's a lot of people today. Let me just say it this way. It's Sunday, so let me say it this way. There's a lot of people that's going to wake up in the morning with a real bad headache, hungover from the weekend, messed up from the weekend. And you know what they're going to say? You know what? I'm not going to do that again. Next weekend, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my life straightened out. But because they do not know the Lord as their personal Savior, they're living a life of bondage. And weekend after weekend, morning after morning, overdose after overdose, alcohol after alcohol, they run back to it. Why? Because they are in bondage to it. Oh, but we do not have to live a life of bondage. There is a new life in this relationship, and it's in Christ. It's liberty. But watch this, the life in the relationship, number two, the legality of it. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Paul did not simply say, we were forgiven. He said, we're adopted. Now, I understand we're forgiven, but understand this. He says we're adopted. Forgiveness removes guilt. Are you with me? Forgiveness removes guilt, but watch this. Adoption gives position. Forgiveness removes... Hey, I forgot about all y'all. Have they been behaving? Forgiveness, it removes the guilt. But you know what adoption does? Adoption gives me a new position. Yes, he did forgive me. Thank God for that. Amen. I don't know about you. I say thank God for forgiveness today. I'm glad my past is gone. But it's not just that. Oh, yes, thank God for forgiveness. But now, because of adoption, oh, it's so much more than forgiveness. I now have a position, and that is a son of God. I am a son of God today. And a modern adoption, once finalized, the child legally belongs to the family. The child receives the family's name. The child gains the same legal rights as a natural born child. The child becomes a lawful heir. The adoption is not second class membership, but the adoption or the adopted child has a full standing as a child. And can I just say something to you today? When I get to heaven, it's not going to be some second class citizenship there. I have a full standing. I am a child. Amen. I'm a child of God today. I thought about this spiritual application of this. When God saved you, you received a new standing. You received a new identity. You received a new inheritance. You received a new family. We are now God's child. The Bible said this in Galatians 4, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Here's what he said in Ephesians, "Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying? I may stand here today as a son of my mom and dad, but I also stand here today as a son of God. I have a new stand." Listen, before I got saved, I had no access to the throne of God. A lot of people says, "Well, I prayed, and boy, the Lord heard me." If you've never been saved, God didn't hear it. Because he said this in Psalms. Now, I don't want to get off track right here, but I'm just going to go ahead for just a minute, and then I'll come back to my outline. He said this in Psalms, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear my prayer." You know what that iniquity is? That iniquity is sin. And the only way you get forgiveness of sin is repentance to God. And the day that you repented of your sins to God, you know what you is doing? You is seeking God for salvation. And now that I am saved, now that I am a child of God, I have a new standing. I can go before the throne of God and I can talk to him today. I don't have to go through the Pope with no hope. I don't have to go through some kind of religious ritual. No, I'm telling you what I can do. Just like I picked up the phone this morning and talked to my daddy in New Mexico, I also picked up the phone this morning and talked to my heavenly Father. I have access to him. Legality of this relationship. I've got access to him. He's my daddy. Oh, yes. Think about this. There's a new standing. What did he say? He said, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son." When a judge declares an adoption finalized, the child walks out of the courtroom forever changed. Now listen, not because the child changed himself, but because the court's authority changed his status. When God saves a sinner, his position changes forever, not based on what he's done, but based on what Christ done. That child, it wasn't based on what that child done. It was based on what the judge done. It was based on what the court done. Amen. Can I tell you something? Yes, the devil went before God too and tried to drag me off into hell. But God said, "I sent my son to die for him. His, my son took his place. And because of what my son did, he now becomes my son." The spirit of adoption. There's the life in the relationship, the legality of the relationship. But then I'll show you this in closing. There is the love in the relationship. The love. What did he say again? He said, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption." Now watch. "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Abba, Father. Very simply put, I could say it this way. I'm going to give you more than this. But very simply put, it means this: Papa. It's what it means just in everyday country boy terms. It means Papa. He says that because I am adopted into the family of God, that's not a disrespect to God, but I have a relationship with God just like he's my Papa. Amen. Just like he's my Papa. This is one of the most, this Abba Father, this is one of the most intimate expressions in all the Scripture. Abba was a term of affection. It carried the ideal of closeness, intimacy, trust, tenderness. This is not the language of a servant approaching a king, but the language of a child approaching a father. And you see, now because of salvation, now because I have accepted Christ into my heart, you know what I am? I am a child approaching my father. Amen. I'm a child. I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm saying. I'm a child approaching my father. When I need something from God, it's just like me walking up to my daddy. And can I just say this to you? That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you. Sometimes we have this thought that God is all-powerful, and He is, and God is all-knowing, and He is, and God is all authority, and He is. But hear me, and hear me well. In my home, my dad was all-powerful. That's the way I was raised. I was raised to respect him. My dad did not know how to count. He couldn't go 1, 2, 3. He said, do it, and the next thing you heard was not 1, 2, 3. It was a belt coming out of belt loops. The scariest sound you'll ever hear in your life is when your mama says, go to your room. And you hear your daddy's footsteps and hear, you say, what was that? It was the belt coming out of his loops. And they always said, I'm about to get off track, but I'm going to go ahead and I'll run it off in the ditch and bring it back. They always said, now this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. Somebody holler amen. And I always wanted to go, give me the belt then and bend over the bed. Let me be the one that gets all the hurt, man. If it's going to hurt you worse than it's going to hurt me, then I need to be the one whooping you because I need to be the one hurting. But I never told him that. You say, why? Because it probably wouldn't have been a belt. It'd probably been a left hook. Y'all think my daddy's all kind and everything when you're around. I'm telling you, he meaning a junkyard dog if he wants to be. Now, he never beat me bad. I remember one time. I told him, I'll call him in for child abuse. And when he got done, Miss Dawn, he said, now you have something to call him about. Y'all, some of you said, yeah. Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't. Your mom and daddy, they knew how to count to 47. You know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Man, I wish somebody taught my mom and daddy that. But come back, what am I preaching about? Beating your kids. No, Lord, we're on live feed. Don't beat your kids. Watch this. When I needed something from my dad, I went to my dad and said, hey, I need this. And you know what my dad done? As any loving, God-fearing father would do, he wants to help his children. You know, when I need something, I'm glad that because of my position after adoption, I can go right to my Heavenly Father. And I can say, man, my heart's broken. I don't know what all this is. I don't understand why it has to be this way. But, Lord, I sure do need you right now. And there's a breath from another world. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Comes through, and it's like he says, peace, be still. Why? Because of the new relationship. Romans chapter 5 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what, the sons of God. I thought about this in closing. Many foster children spend years wondering, will anyone want me? Will anyone choose me? Will I ever belong anywhere? Then comes the day that someone says, we want you. That is exactly what God has done for every person in this room. Many foster children, I'm sure, wonders because of maybe something in the past. Will anybody ever really care about me? But then comes the day I wish you'd get on board with the preacher. That somebody goes, I want you. I thought about this. The wonder of salvation is not merely that God lets us into heaven, but it's that God brings us into His family. We are brought into the family of God. Miss Daniel, you start playing softly wherever. There she is. As a child of God, we have a new life. We're no longer in bondage, but we have peace. As a child of God, we have a new legal standing. We're no longer strangers, but we're sons. As a child of God, we have a new relationship, no longer distant, but we cry, Abba, Father. Ephesians 2:19 said this, Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of God. In other words, we're no longer strangers, we're no longer foreigners, but we're fellow citizens, we're saints, we're members of the household of God. Salvation is more than having your sins forgiven. Salvation is God taking a hell-deserving sinner, giving him a new life with a new standing and a new name with a new inheritance, and welcomed forever into the family of God. That's what adoption is. You remember I said this at the very beginning when I was talking about the different things in the Roman law and the Roman day? And one of them was this, that whenever you became adopted, all past debts and everything of your past was done away with. It was all gone. And you become part of a new family with a new life. Can I just say it this way? With a new beginning. Why? Because all of the past is wiped away. You may have walked in here today and listened to the choir sing and watched the ministry video and the ladies and the other ladies sing and heard the preacher preach and thought in the backside of your mind, well, you really just don't know who I am, preacher. You really just don't know where I've been. We would say it this way sometimes, you really don't know my story. Can I say something to you this morning? I may not. And can I also say this? I don't have to know your story, because I know this story. And according to this story, Paul said that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what that meant? Paul was saying this, I'm the big dog. I'm the grand potentate when it comes to sinners. I'm worse than anybody else was. But Paul says this, Christ come to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And you know what happened in Acts chapter number 9? His name was Saul at that time. There's a great light shined down out of heaven, and conviction fell on Saul, and he got saved. And after he got saved, Jesus changed his name to Paul. And Paul wrote to us what I read this morning. The man that said that he was the greatest of all sinners. Can I just tell you something about him? Paul hunted Christians down and killed them. That's what he done. If Paul lived in our day, we would be scared to death of Paul. Paul would be the one that would come in and do a mass shooting because we was in church. That's what he did. You know what Christ done for him? Christ forgave him and gave him a new position. He forgave him for it. And Paul writes practically half of the New Testament to us today. Matter of fact, I truly believe, and others think differently, but if you go back to that Macedonia call that Paul answered, and you look at the geographical location of all of that, Paul is probably part of the reason that we have the gospel right here in America today. And if God done that with Paul, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the life that you lived. It doesn't matter how bad you may think you are inside. There's a God that loves you today, and there's a God that'll forgive you today. There's a God that'll wipe away your past. Oh, they may still be scars in your mind. Others may still see it, but who cares what others see? The main thing is what Christ sees. Christ says this, "Come unto me, all ye that are laboring of heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says this, for whosoever, our New Testament come from the Greek. You know what that word whosoever means whenever you study it out? I'm going to give you the low gap term for it. Here's what it means when it's translated, everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say, if you've done this, or if you've done that, or if you've done this, or if you... No, here's what he said. If you realize you're lost, and you want your past wiped away, and you want to be adopted into my family, and become an heir of God, and an inheritance of the things of God, he says, just come on. Just come on. We try to make salvation so difficult when it's so simple. Simply believing that He is the Son of God, that He really did die, that He really did resurrect, and that He really did ascend back into the heavens, and simply saying, God, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And you know what He said He would do? He would do it today. He would do it. Can I ask you a question in closing? Are you part of the family today? I like the old song that says, you may notice, Miss Mandy, you probably remember it. You may notice that we say brother and sister around here. Have you ever got around people at the church and you'll hear them say, well, Brother Josh, I appreciate that. Brother Robert, I say sis a lot. Matter of fact, somebody not long ago asked me, said, do you even know my name? I said, yeah, I know your name. I say sister or sis a lot. Why? Because we're a family. That's what the family, that's what salvation is. It's a family. And the way that I didn't do nothing to earn rights into this family. I got adopted into it. And when I got adopted into it, everything from my past got erased. You may go to heaven today and say, bring up everything from Jonathan Barker. You know what God's going to do? He's going to look over at the Son and say, bring the books. He's going to look through the books and he's going to say, yep, right there it's Jonathan Barker. Birth date, July 20th, 1994. That's when I got saved. And you may say, well, you know what? I heard he done this, this, and this. I want to know what the record is. And you know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to look back at God and go, all I see is blood. Next page, all I see is blood. Next page, all I see is blood. Next page, all I see is blood. Let me tell you the reason why His blood washed away my past. I may have a memory of it. You may have a memory of it. Satan may have a memory of it. But because of adoption, God no longer has a memory of it because it's washed away. And you can become part of this family of God. Not because you deserve it, because none of us do. But because the Father, Papa says, come on, I'll adopt you. Come on, I'll take it. Man, if we didn't have so many visitors, we'd probably shout right there. I didn't do nothing to deserve this. I didn't do one thing to deserve. I failed God every day of my life. But I sure am glad that He's a loving God. And I can go back to Him in 1 John 1:9 that. And He's a forgiving God.